Hi, I'm Matt, and I'm an educator at the National Museum of American History, and you're listening to History Explorer, a podcast that lets you investigate questions about history along with our staff. As a museum, we explore the richness and complexity of American history through objects. Today, we're going behind the scenes to explore the many layers of the museum's latest acquisition, Elphaba's Dress, from the Broadway musical Wicked, which gave a new spin on L. Frank Baum's well-known book, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, with a story from the perspective of Glinda the Good and Elphaba the Wicked Witch of the West. And with this object, the first thing that strikes you is its color. It's not the typical black of a witch's costume. It's the black that, when looked at closely, is a myriad of color. And I was curious why that choice was made and what it meant for the musical. So let's start our exploration here. This is Susan Hilferty, the dress's designer who won a Tony Award for her costume work in Wicked.
In creating Elphaba, I was trying to connect her to the solidity of the Earth or a planet. So I looked at so many different rocks and stones, minerals. I looked at oil spills. None of them are black. Plain black can sometimes be the take-out light. It absorbs light. But in the case of Elphaba, I wanted her to feel faceted and strong. And to do that, it was essential that we included many different colors, colors that all together read as black.
It was obvious from looking at this costume that there was a lot of thought and creativity behind it. But I didn't realize the breadth of research that went into it as well. Can you tell us more about that?
Research is at the heart of every designer's work. We have to look for inspiration in many places. I have an enormous library that focuses on many, many, many different areas. I might be looking at butterflies. I might be looking at rocks. I use every day as a research tool, meaning I walk the streets. When I'm out on the streets, I'm looking for inspiration. I'm putting things together in my head. What's so great about having access to great museums is I can find so many different areas to focus on, whether or not it's stars or the earth. When I did Wicked, I was creating a world that nobody has ever been to. So I needed to find a way to create all the objects and clothing of the world. What that means is that I'm looking at the past and trying to invent a future. Just as even if you walk around Washington, D.C. right now, you'll see buildings. There's a lot of things that come from the 1700s that are still viable and part of the quilt of a world. So in imagining the future, where I think Wicked takes place, what I was using as research were wildly different. Thinking of what a fashion designer in the future might use to design their clothes, bringing it all together for that dress.
The research and design work that went behind this costume is an interesting layer of its story, but it was designed for a purpose. Understanding this purpose requires us to look beyond the object and its case, as Susan Hilferty makes an interesting point.
It's interesting for me to see the Elphaba dress on display because it actually is without a context, meaning that it is by itself. That dress is never seen by itself. On stage, she's always surrounded by monkeys, or she's with Glinda, she's with Fiero. She is always contextualized, which is always part of the design.
Only when we think about the dress within its original context can we realize its importance to the play itself. Let's hear more about this from Dwight Blocker Bowers, a curator at the museum who specializes in American musical theater and popular culture.
Well, I think the most important thing is how much the costume influences the character and what the actor has to play. That it helps them formulate their performance as an actor and how important a costume is to being on stage or being in films for that matter.
Dwight makes two interesting points about the importance of costume in its context. The first happens before we even ever see the play. It's how the costume influences the actor's understanding of the character. This is Donna Vivino and Tiffany Haas, actors who have portrayed Elphaba and Glinda, respectively.
You know, you have to create the rest of the story, maybe what's not on the paper. And for me, a lot of that came from, you know, we're going back to clothing, a lot of it came from the clothing. I mean, the bubble gown covered in sequins and yards of fabric and petals, and that helped really transform me and then helped me kind of understand, okay, what would Glinda wear? And you realize what she wears to school. You know, she's always finished. She's always complete. And so things like that helped me transform into understanding the character.
I literally get taller during the show. I mean, her first boot is about an inch, and the next one's like an inch and a half, and then the next one is 2 inches. I don't think that's an accident. Wow, it's, you know, Elphaba doesn't have as many costume changes as Glinda, but they're...
I think they both have the same arc, though.
They have the same arc,
yeah. You see from their first costumes together, through popular shiz, and to the end, they really mature.
Mm-hmm. We become women.
Yes.
We go from girls to women. The silhouettes change.
Mm-hmm. How costumes influence actors is Dwight's first point. His second point is how costumes influence the audience's understanding of the character. While there are many factors that help us understand a character, the costume plays an important role. This is Susan Hilferty on building a character.
I'm described as a costume designer, but really I am a character designer. That I design characters. The clothes are really just one aspect of it, so that the clothes are part of a whole, but how somebody moves and in what context they are living is also part of the design. So the Elphaba, for instance, is not just her dress. It is the combination of the dress, how she moves, where she started, and where she's going to. That's what I mean by context.
We've explored the dress's design, how it influences the actor's portrayal of the character, and how it influences the audience's understanding of the character. But when we look at this dress, it's also important to think about the character's story. This is Dwight Blocker Bowers on Elphaba.
The character of Elphaba is the Wicked Witch of the West, and we're very much into collecting artifacts that have to do with each generation remaking the Wizard of Oz story. It was first the novel, then it was a stage musical in 1901 or 2, then it became a silent film, then it became the MGM film that we all know and love, then it became The Wiz, that each generation seems to feel the need to remake what Frank Baum called an American fairy tale. They find that myth very appealing.
Musical theater and the arts are an important aspect of American history. The story of the wonderful Wizard of Oz and its many renditions can serve as an interesting lens into 20th and 21st century American history. This dress can serve as a touchstone to those larger conversations. Let's first hear from Susan Hilferty and then Dwight Blocker Bowers about why it's important to collect and study the arts.
The arts are, for me, not about entertainment, but if you look at every great culture, arts are at the heart of it. The Renaissance, ancient Greek, go to Japan, go to China, every great culture has the arts, the foundation. So I think it's essential that not only that the arts continue to be available for everybody in this country, but that it's also recognized for its contribution to our culture, our history, our lives. So I think Broadway is a truly American-inspired form, and that to have these iconic images start to lay out, to map out the relationship of a piece of theater to its time. For instance, Wicked, it started in 2003, and in many ways it's representative of what our culture is. If I had designed it in 1980, it actually would have been a different design. So this design is inspired from its time. So I think it's important that Broadway is recognized in this museum.
I think the importance of the arts is that they point to the people having a soul. They deal with feeling, interpreting, examining life through a form of entertainment. And I think that can't be discarded in terms of artifacts either. I think it's our job to document American culture. And that's a very vital part of American culture.
Thanks for exploring the layers of the alphabet dress with us. It truly is fascinating as a piece of design, as a piece of the play, and as a piece of American culture and the arts. Like the alphabet dress, the objects that checker the quilt of our world have many stories to tell. To find them, try living a day like Susan Hilferty, using every day as a research tool, whether you be in the library, in a museum, or walking the streets of a city or the paths of a forest. If you follow your questions, I suspect you'll find some interesting stories that will spark some larger conversations about history. If you learn an interesting story or have an idea for a future podcast, let us know by sending us an email at thinkfinity@si.edu. For more History Explored podcasts, please visit americanhistory.si.edu/podcasts. I want to thank Susan Hilferty, Dwight Blocker Bowers, Donna Vivino, and Tiffany Haas for speaking with us today, and Mary Kate Dulaney for her help with this podcast. This podcast is funded from a generous donation from the Verizon Foundation. Music for this episode from the Understore Orchestra's album, No Money, No Honey, All We Got Is Us, which you can find at creativecommons.org.